It was good to see Aaron playing the
guitar. Yes, it was great. It was good.
Yes.
Aaron was so talented. Encouraged.
Oh, I was as well. Yeah. I loved to see him playing guitar with Andrew.
Even though Andrew never knocked him.
Not used to having somebody at Saturday. It's
good to hear Bill playing too.
Yeah, it is.
Well, I had that for years, haven't you?
Can he play?
Just dabbling.
We just fill slots, don't we?
Did you hear the pottering?
That's what I say. It was good to hear Bill playing.
It was reverberating.
Oh yeah, it was
building.
Fantastic buildings.
I love to hear that.
If we bring it down with bass notes. Some of them notes you can't even hear them. You can only feel them. They get that deep. You start working with 32-foot pipes, frequency about 16 hertz, which you can't hear, and so you just feel it. I don't know what purpose of that.
But it
lots of all the
shivers up your back, don't it? Some
even have 64-foot pipes, which go down to 8 hertz. And I don't know what you do that.
It sounds lovely though when you go in York Minster and strike
that just
you get some idea of just a taste of God's grandeur, don't
you? Yeah. You're blind, you're
not but in a big way, but
all in it.
So any more testimonies? Everybody's suddenly gone quiet.
Well, I read one other day that struck me. It's about this prisoner of war survivor. The times when he was in prisoner of war camps, a shovel went missing. The guards come in and said, "Who's stolen that shovel? It's one of you lot." And nobody said, no, not us, right? And so I know it's one of you lot, so I'm going to start one by one shooting it till whoever's done it owns up. So he pulled his gun out, and at that point a Scotsman stepped forward and says, "I need to." So they beat the Scotsman to death. And then just after that, they had a recount and find out that none of the children were missing. So the question is, who will take the blame for something they haven't done? It's sort of like, is it Jesus taking the blame for us? It was in that compilation, Body of Word for Today. It really struck a chord with me, that one. We've heard a story before, you know, about imagine you're in court, you're in the dock, and you're found guilty. Then the judge says, "I'm going to take your sentence. I'm going to sentence myself to a life in prison for what you've done." And that's the same sort of thing, isn't it? It's Jesus taking the wrath on the wheel.
It's to a measure. It's almost incomprehensible.
I don't know if anybody read Word for Today that were good. This Granny Brand in India.
Yeah, so that
is. Yeah, when she was 17, she fell down and broke her rib or something. The son says it's time to pack up, but she went on a horseback to all round villages. Right. And she went on till she was 93. Oh, wow. And then they carried her on a bed there after villages. And then she died.
She came from England and emigrated to India in about 1906, weren't it?
Yeah.
When she got to 70, some tried to persuade her to come back home to England. And she didn't say, "I'm having none of it." So she, like you say, she stuck it for another 20 odd years, didn't she?
Yeah.
They were carrying her on a stretcher, weren't they?
Yeah, because she couldn't go on horse.
Yeah. It was through ministry that she went around and been carried on a stretcher.
Mm-hmm. You see, it's people like that that have, endeavoured the word even to be carried into Nepal. Because obviously Nepal's just above India there, isn't it? And so, that word is being carried and carried and carried. And I mean, I don't know of any missionaries that ever went to Nepal, but directly. But obviously, we as a took it under us as a bit like an empire in one sense again, didn't we?
Yeah.
And they became part of us, and that's why the Gurkhas were so involved. And so obviously the message got took to Nepal, and Mary's here because of
fruit.
Fruit, and rest, and many others.
Dill gave you some confession.
Yeah, I've got to look at that yet, yeah. And yeah, what's happening out there.
Evangelist.
Yeah, what's happening out there, so.
Praise God that, you know, in a heathen country, the gospel is being preached, isn't it?
It's growing in Nepal, isn't it?
It is.
Yes.
Right, predominantly Hindu and Buddhist at this time, isn't it? But Christianity is getting
put on. It's beginning to grow, right, which is great, you know. They keep, you know, they say that in this country it's shrinking, but yet in other countries
it's growing.
The message is growing. Mm-hmm. You see, the message of love, the message of salvation, the message of redemption, the message of the peace and the love of God is overcoming the message of control and hatred and bitterness. Mm-hmm. And it's defeating that message.
Mm-hmm.
Because the message, God, you know, the message of God is love.
Mm-hmm.
Is a powerful message. It is the most powerful message.
It is.
Yeah. I read something today. I've never noticed this before, but it's in Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. And verse 43. So that's Mark's Gospel, chapter 14 and verse 43. Probably not noticed it as much because much of the time I've read in the New American Standard or New Revised. And today I read something in the King James, and I've got the King James on my iPhone here, and the King James says something very sort of that caught my eye, reading sort of. Made me wonder about Judas in one sense. And it says, and immediately while he yet spake, that's being Jesus, comes Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves, from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And when he had betrayed him, when he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, whosoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him away and lead him away safely. And I thought, I've not really seen that before.
Yeah.
And the question is, did really Judas understand what he was doing at that time? When, if he's turning round to this army of soldiers and saying to take him away safely.
Mm.
What's in his mind?
Mm. I think he was overcome by greed.
Well, he was overcome by it. So he was always overcome by greed. Judas's problem had always been greed. Because if you remember when the Mary Magdalene came and she broke that oil and anointed his feet and wept over him and wiped his feet and that way, etc. And you know, Judas is muttering in the background and saying, we could have sold that, and we could have used the money to help the poor. He weren't thinking about that because he got his hand in the coffers.
Yeah, he was the keeper of the purse.
Keeper of the purse, that's right. He was the treasurer. And you've got to watch these treasures, you know.
But Jesus knew what he was like, and he still made him treasurer.
Exactly. Yeah.
He entrusted him with the money, knowing he was a thief.
Yeah.
It's quite striking, really, isn't it? The fact that at times God allows these things to go on. And I think, you know, we can wonder why. Why is this happening? Why has that happened? Why did that go on like that? And I suppose in reality there are two options on this. One is that the person who is, let's take Judas for instance, dipping his hand in the money bag might come to a place of repentance and turn from his wicked ways and be fully redeemed. There's that one opportunity, isn't there? Now the other one is that obviously you will be punished for your sins. But God always leaves an opportunity for you and I to come back to himself and to be redeemed.
Mm.
And I think Judas, as you say, Bill, was so overcome by his greed for money, misunderstanding all that Jesus was doing in the end. And I'm not, when you read that sort of comment, and I'm not saying this is exactly what Judas thought, but it makes you wonder, did Jesus really understand that what he was doing at that point in time? Or was he so consumed by the money that all he could see was the, just getting the money, and then at some stage they'd let Jesus go anyway?
Aye, that's what I was thinking.
They may have sort of put it that way to get him to sell out, then it won't be such a big deal. And then, of course, he comes to the point where he realises what he's actually done.
Yeah.
And it's like, for 30 pieces of silver.
And yet Jesus shown him love the same as the others, didn't he? Didn't,
exactly. You know, exactly. Yeah.
They did say in one of the Gospels that Satan entered in.
That's right. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yes, it does.
Satan entered what?
Into, you know, in other words, he was so consumed by it, it became a demonic force in his life. Mm. And as it says in one part of Scripture, it says Satan, you know, Satan has entered into him. Mm. Whether in actual fact or just the very nature and the very light heartbeat, if you want, of Satan entered into him in that way, one can't quite say. But he was so consumed by this love of money, the actually of having money. And money doesn't bring happiness.
Never.
It brings a lot of complications with it. It can bring a lot of problems and troubles with it along its way. And Jesus says the love of money is the root of all evils.
Yeah.
So here we have Judas, so in love with money, and yet he's not going to give it away to the poor. He just wants a big money bag, and that makes him a big man. You know, I hold the treasury, I sign the checkbook, and we've got a lot of money in the bank. It's like, it's not what it's about. So we as individuals have to realise that the only thing that should consume us is Jesus.
Yeah.
Mm.
Not our money, no. Not our house, not our car, not our wives, not our children, not our loved ones. Nothing should consume us more than Jesus.
Mm.
And if we get that right, then we're certainly going in the right direction.
Everything else will come into line.
Everything else.
Matthew 6.
Yeah.
We're back to Jesus at the centre.
I don't think I've preached on Matthew 6 for a long time. We're overdue, aren't we? We're overdue for one.
It's that verse 33.
That's 33. We're not forgot it, have we? What is it? Just remind me.
Something about...
Seek ye first. Seek ye first the kingdom, the King of the kingdom, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Absolutely. But you see, the world and the world, family, friends, various other things at times seek to distract us from the things that God wants for us. And we can miss out on the blessings that God has for us when we let other things interfere with God moving into our lives in a deeper way, when we don't let God move in his presence in our lives like he wants to. And it hinders our growth. It hinders you and me from growing in the things of God. And it delays the work of the kingdom.
Mm.
That we're involved in. And so every one of us has a responsibility, because we're all part of the kingdom, we're all part of what God is doing in the church, we're all part of the kingdom of God, as the church is part of the kingdom of God. And so as we move forward positively, as we move forward willingly into the things of God, and as we embrace and put God first and put his word first, then we'll see great things happening. Respect this word. Give honour to this word, because it is so important. This word is so powerful. It creates life. It does so many things. It heals the sick, it raises the dead, it opens blind eyes and stops deaf ears. This word moves mountains, Jesus said. You know, if you've got faith, speak to this mountain.
Amen. Be thou removed.
And it'll be gone. Powerful. A depth that we tend to forget these simple truths.
The Lord's been talking to me about this, what you're saying today, and I've been reading, so I've been really blessed.
Praise God.
Just reminding me that the word actually became, it is life. It's Jesus, isn't it?
Oh, it is.
It's just like a simple thing, and you think, yes, you are. It's not something I forget, but it's just a reminder. I am the life. I am. This is actually alive.
Yeah, it is.
It's hope. And I thought, yes. You know, it right blessed me today.
Thank you, Lord.
And Jesus says in the word, he says, I have come that you might have life.
Yeah.
And have it.
Oh, yes.
More abundantly. Jesus has not come to shortchange us. Jesus has come to give us more than we've already got. More than we can ever actually hold. He's come to give us an abundance.
Yes.
And abundance is overflowing, so we can't hold it, can we? It runs over. So somebody else is going to be blessed when we begin to overflow. Exactly. But we only overflow when we're in his presence and he's in us, and we keep that relationship right. Then there is that overflowing from us that other people begin to get blessed from.
Yes, it's true.
So if we want to see this area and where we live blessed, we need to be filled to overflowing. And the only way we get filled to overflowing is when we're in this word. This word changes things.
Oh, it does.
You know, people can speak words against us.
Yeah.
They can say things against us.
Oh yeah.
They can even try to put a curse on us.
Yeah.
It's not going to work.
No.
Because the Bible says, a curse without cause cannot stay, and it'll go back to where it came from, and it'll go and sit on those people that cursed us.
Yeah.
So they will suffer their curse.
Yeah.
That's what the word says. So thank God, we're not cursed, we're blessed.
And all those that dig traps for us,
they fall into their own traps. So
I think we've got to be realised what we speak out, though.
Dig one for yourself.
I know, I'm trying to realise how powerful the words are when you speak. You know, you can say, oh, I don't feel like this, I feel this. You know, you've got to be careful, because they're all being taken up from somebody's taking them up. If it's not Lord's light side, it's other.
We've got to let that word live and breathe in us and move through us. And so often, though, we get easily distracted by other things and suddenly miss out what God is trying to do in our lives and the effect he has, and that we can end up being a little bit like Judas in one sense. I'm not saying we're going as far as him, but we get caught up with other things, and that becomes more important than Jesus. And we have to come back to, hey, what's important? It's Jesus, and it's having this fellowship with him day by day that is so important that the enemy tries to stop. As you can tell with my voice today, it's dropped slightly. Last night I spent probably most of the night semi awake or waking and I just started praying, and I just started rehearsing the word that I could remember in my mind. And actually, later on during the night, I felt better.
Praise God.
Than when I went to bed, in one sense, you know. It was like, wow. And so it's a reminder that the word is powerful.
It is.
The word changes circumstances and situations. And I think at this time, as a church, in as a body of believers in a new building, moved into a new a different area, that we need to see the presence and the power of God within us working.
Yeah.
The word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, the word of revelation,
yeah.
that healing word, that the words of miracles that come forth, these words need to be beginning to operate within us. And they will only operate within us as we as an individuals have that relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
And as we and we might also, well, we've all got a relationship with the Lord. But we could probably then say, well, where do we scale it? How do we measure it? And I'm not saying that you've got to be praying 23 hours a day and you have 1 hour to eat and sleep and what have you. I'm not saying that, but it's the principle of what is important. And
well, it's a case of talking to God throughout. I mean, you can talk to God while you're washing the pots up.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's what he wants you to do, doesn't it? So it's not a case of sitting, praying and
or if you've got a dishwasher, you can talk to the Lord while you're loading the dishwasher.
Yeah,
But I think as well, we, as a body, we need to, Paul says, covet the best gifts.
Yes, exactly.
Desire them. Mm. And God will give you the desires of your heart, but if we're just sitting back and not going for it, then there's no faith there, is there? We've got to have faith to step out, to say, God, you say you'll give me the desires of my heart. You tell me to desire the best gifts. Well, you want it, I want it. But you're not going to drag me out, are you? You're going to expect me to take a step of faith.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you see, God lays everything before us and we have to voluntarily move out towards the things that he's given to us. And make that step forward. And as we do that, God will pour out. But again, like Grace says, we need to be desiring the gifts. In other words, we need to be, to some degree, the desire means that we put some effort into something.
Yeah. You're focused on it.
And you're going for it. With anticipation, the expectancy, and that God is going to do what he said he will do, and he's going to fulfill his promises in your lives as an individual, as well as the life of the church.
If we've got no desires and no goals, then how can God fulfill it?
Well, that's another thing I was reading about today. It's just like hope as well. You've got to have that hope, but not the hope of this world, that hope connected to faith. Because there's a connection, isn't there?
There is, yeah.
Having that hope but expecting it, having that hope but expecting it through faith.
Yeah.
You know, don't you? You know that, that really blessed me as well. It's so lovely having these reminders, and you feel it, you just feel it like a stab at you. It's wonderful.
The Holy Spirit, the prompter,
the prodder. Yeah. Come on, you get prodder.
Stirring you. Yeah. Well, God says stir up the gift that is within you.
That's right, we need to stir up the gift that is that God has given to us individually and the giftings that God has given to us.
Mm.
And these giftings are to be used not for our glory but for the glory, for the sake of the kingdom.
Mm.
And it is wonderful when we can be used by the Holy Spirit and used by God to minister to people's lives. And it is precious. And if it's never happened to you, then I just want to encourage you to keep pressing on, keep pressing in, because it is such a wonderful experience.
Mm.
And it just presses you on further into the things of God. And it's so exciting to know that God's there and ministering to you, ministering through you, wants to use you as an individual.
Mm.
And it's wonderful.
It reminds me of something I heard on radio a couple of days ago. an interview with a concert pianist, one of the best on the planet, Vladimir Ashkenazy. I've been a fan of him since I was a teenager, so I'm not getting on with it. And he says, I'm not really a religious man, he says, but I do believe that many of us are given gifts. Some of us are given greater gifts than the others.
Mm.
And he says, in my opinion, the greatest gifts of all are those given to composers. And the interviewer says, well, surely if you're way over them, he says, you're one of the best pianists in the world. He says, no. He says, they start with nothing and finish up with a masterpiece. And that's what God does, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Makes something from nothing.
Because it's all here.
You imagine writing a symphony for 100 different instruments. You should write each individual one. I can't comprehend that.
Yeah. And then when you increase that, multiply it by I don't know how many million, to start with nothing, and then create the universe, and then in the midst of all of the universe that we at the moment are in, have a knowledge of, place one small piece of rock that is round that has the ability to sustain life, and then create all of the different types of insects and animals and life form on this earth. Wow. What a symphony. What a symphony.
The point I'm making, I think, is how God has put this into it. So, it's planted a sort of minute version of his own abilities.
Because
he's the one
who's
got it all anyway.
Everything comes from God, you know. And so, in a similar way, we as individuals are supposed to be a mirror image.
Mm. Yeah.
A small mirror image of God for what, you know. Mm. But, because that is what God has doing within us. If we are the sons of God, right, we should be a chip off the old block. Mm. As the phrase goes, so that in other words, when they look at us, they see something of God.
Mm. Yeah,
you see.
Yeah,
but it's interesting too that wherever the gospel has gone, it's brought enlightenment.
Yeah,
and it's brought giftings and just advancement, hasn't it?
Mm.
Because it all comes from God. But you look at the third world countries and the poverty and the deprivation and the evil that abounds. It just stifles any growth or any advancement, doesn't it?
I think if you just look at North Korea, Grace, it stands out like a sore thumb because it's sold, they're all dying of starvation.
Yes, really.
Because it's a demonic regime, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah.
It's just, and you can see it's just the country's ruined.
Yeah.
And yet other nations, what's got the law, they're thriving. And
well, you take North and South, don't you? You take North Korea, South Korea.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just draw a line
in
the sand, basically, and the two opposites in terms and in how they operate and in the blessings. One, South Korea, financially blessed, and many Christians in South Korea.
Yeah.
North Korea is much the opposite, and they're suffering and people are dying.
Yeah.
Because what's missing? The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ is missing.
Yeah.
The good news that says, I have come that you might have life. I've come to bring my love, my peace, my joy, my goodness to you. And it's not about the love of money, but it's about the love of Jesus.
Yeah.
And the love of God towards people, you see. And these things are missed out. And so then you get regimes like you have in North Korea. And it goes from one dictator to the next, and people are suffering because of that.
So some of these clips from Franklin Graham that I keep posting all over Facebook, I don't know if you've seen some, but they're talking about why America's backsliding in its moral compass because it's turned its back on God. And it was saying the other day about how people tend to think that they should separate the church from the state.
You can't.
And Franklin Graham says you cannot separate it. We should never have attempted that. separated the church from the state.
You see, that was the Antichrist that started to come into the nations. The moment that they begin to speak, let's separate the church from the state, that's when Antichrist is now beginning to manifest itself in the nation.
Mm. Yeah. The Bill of Rights, the Constitution was built on Christianity.
Was built on Christianity. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
As was this nation.
As was our nation. The good things, the good laws and that are being passed are very much based on this Word of God. And then when you start to move away from this, when you start to deride the Word of God, when you start to undermine the Word of God, when you start to say it's not important anymore, it's dated, it's out of date, it needs to be ignored or changed, we'll pass new laws so we can do what we want, that's just where, then it brings chaos.
It does.
You know, it's, if you want, it's the other end of communism. The two extremes of you know, total control and this absolute total freedom to just abuse and misuse anything and everything that you want. The two extremes, and neither will work.
Yeah.
And again, it's back to, we have to have Jesus, right? In the
center. Man.
You know, there is a day, and the thing that they've done when they try to ignore the Word of God and separate state and church from each other is they try to say there is no God, there is no judgment day, we can please ourselves and do exactly what we want, and that's fine, and we'll be okay. And they're living a misguided dream, for want of a better word. They're living in a misguided reality. Because for each and every one of us, whether we be in Christ or out of Christ, there is a judgment day. And for those that are out of Christ, it's eternal damnation. For those that are in Christ, it's well done.
Amen.
Thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. So, there's judgment, full stop. But there are, as I keep saying to you in the past, there are two sides to judgment. Praise God. And so we come to a place when Christ is in the centre of our lives and we keep him there and we're focused on it and everything, we can rejoice on judgment day.
Yeah.
Now that seems a little bit of a contrary terms in one sense, because of the way people think. Because they always associate judgment as being
critical,
big stick, punishment. And it's not. You know, when you sit your exams, they mark your exams, don't they? And then judgment day, if you want, arrives, and you get your, you know, the list comes up, and you think, oh, what's it going to be like? You know, and you look and you go, wow, I did what? You've been judged. How good you are, to what level you've attained to, right? When it comes to you and I before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, we're going to be judged. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. I tell you, those are the words we need to be listening for.
Yeah.
Those are the words that we want to be hearing. Those are the things that we're going for. And
can I just read Psalm 46?
Yeah, then we'll pray.
It sums it all up. God is our refuge and strength. A very present, in brackets it says in there, and a very well-proved help in trouble. And I think, how many times has he proved himself to me?
Yeah.
That he always digs me out of whatever pit I drop myself in. Time and time and time and time again, God has proven to be a very present help. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There's a river, this is the river of God, the river of life, whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. And this is the verse that it meant. God is in the midst of the city, it shall not be moved. And I've written him in margin, keep God in the centre and you'll never be moved.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if the mountains are shaking, if the earth's reeling, whatever's happening, it doesn't matter. If God's in the midst of this situation that you're in, if he's in the midst of your life, then you will not be moved. And that is a powerful, powerful thought. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in uproar. The kingdoms totter. And the nations are in uproar. And there's kingdoms tottering. He utters his voice and the earth melts. One word from God changes it all. They all melt. It says that at his voice the earth just melts. They're back to your tongue, aren't they, John? The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. God is, he says, I am. Don't care what the devil says or what circumstances say. God says, I am exalted among the nations. They can throw him out, they can ban him, they can do what they want. But he says, I am exalted amongst the nations. And nothing will ever alter that. What you think, do or say, will not alter it. I said it. It is written. I am exalted in the earth. He will be king of glory. He will be king of the earth. King of kings and Lord of lords, and nothing will ever up to that.
Yeah.
I don't care all the hoo-ha that goes on and all the leaders who say, I'm God, you listen to me. No, you're not. You're God with a little G.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord of hosts is with us. He's our refuge. He won't ever leave us. He's always there. He will just dispel all the uproar. He breaks the bow. He shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He just blows on it all. It's gone. It vaporizes. He's just so powerful. And they say, don't they, when a storm's raging, the quietest place is right in the centre. That's where the eye of the storm is, where you need to be, because that is where it's absolute stillness. And so when the storm's raging, get to the eye of it, and God will be there. It'll be peace in the middle. And if it's in the middle of here, no matter what's happening, you've got
nothing
peace.
Can,
you know that nothing can move.
Nothing
can stop it. Yeah. Just, hey God, you're in charge.
Amen. Praise God.
Praise the Lord, yes.
So he's our refuge and strength.
Mm-hmm.
And don't strive, just know.
Yeah.
But he's God.
Yeah.
Be still. Know that I'm God. So often we can go into panic, you know, thinking of trying to work things out when it shouldn't be. Be still. Know he's God. Because when we're in that relationship with the Lord, he said he will never see his children begging bread forsaken. Never see them in that situation. God will always provide.
Yeah.
You know, Grace and I, over the years, we can look back and God has always provided.
Yeah.
God's always provided.
Mm.
And we can rejoice in that.
Yeah,
so
he's faithful.
Praise God. You know, he uses those who have to give to those that don't have.
Mm.
And we as a church need to continue to do that.
Yeah.
In the next few days, I'm going to bring a request to the church, and just for us to pray over and to consider. Because as a church, if we are going to continue to be blessed, not only putting God in the centre, but we need to be blessing others as we move through that are in need and various different times. So, yeah. So we're going to pray for these requests tonight. Shared a little bit longer than what we anticipated in one sense. But as we pray for these, just let's expect God to move in these people's lives.
Amen.
And to change their circumstances and situations, touch them if they need healing, minister to them. And the area that we're living in now, that God will begin to break down those ruling principalities and powers that have kept people away from churches. Mm-hmm. And the attitudes of people, that these that this, it will be broken by the word of God. Yeah, you know, we made a statement on Sunday when we went out and sang around the cross.
Mm-hmm.
We made a statement. Mm-hmm. And who knows who was looking through curtains, what they're doing out there now.